There is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. That's the warning I want us to hear loud and clear from this parable, this story that Jesus told this morning. There is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. Of course, the word grace doesn't even appear in the passage, does it? It's not a word used in Matthew's gospel, as far as I can tell. But of course, that doesn't mean that the concept isn't there. Here is a story of a generous king who lays on this rich, sumptuous, lavish feast, once in a lifetime event for his people. Here's a story of a patient king who calls thankless, hostile people again and again to come and enjoy his banquet, even though they reject his invitation. Here is a story of a gracious king who, having been rejected by those he'd invited in the first place, nevertheless sends out his servants to gather anyone, the bad or the good, to come and enjoy the food at his table. Yeah, the word grace isn't present, but this is a parable, a story all about God's grace, his free gift to us. All about God's character as the God who gives good gifts to us free of charge, without condition, to those who will accept them. But hear with me that warning as we begin to look at this passage. There is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. And we're going to see that danger in sort of two different ways. There's a different way we can think too little of God's grace. We'll see each one in the first half and the second half of this parable that Jesus told. First, we see how people think little of God's free invitation. They think little of God's invitation. This parable is a picture. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet. That is, life, living in relationship with God under his rule, is like this story about a king who throws a banquet. There's something for us to learn from this picture. And we can learn three things about living life with God from this story. First, we see that life lived with God is a celebration of God and all that he's done for us. In the parable, the banquet is a celebration of this king for the wedding of his son. And life lived in relationship with God is a life lived celebrating who God is and what he's done for us in Jesus. Life lived with God is a celebration. But second, life was shown with God is a good thing. This isn't just any old celebration. This isn't just your run-of-the-mill party. It's a royal celebration. It's a lavish celebration. No expense has been spared. Have a look down with me in verse 4 again. The king says, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Okay, so oxen and fattened cattle isn't quite perhaps what we put on the menu for our dinner party next time we're hosting one. But the idea is that this is a banquet of rich food, choicest food, the best food you can imagine. Steak and wine and nice cheese or whatever else it is that you'd love to eat. It's like those old M&S adverts. They're getting a bit old now, but do you remember them? This isn't just any food. This is M&S food. Now, this isn't just any banquet. This is the king's once-in-a-lifetime wedding celebration of his son banquet. It's the kind of stuff to get you salivating. The kind of event everyone would have been waiting for. Life lived in relationship with God is a good thing, this parable reminds us. So it's a celebration, it's a good thing. And third, we're reminded that life lived in relationship with God is free. Again and again, the king sends out his servants to call people to come and join him at the banquet. Everything is ready. No one has to buy a ticket or pay to enter on the door. All they have to do is come. What does the king say, verse 4? Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. And likewise, the invitation God gives to everyone, to each of us, to come and live a life in relationship with him, knowing him as our Father, is absolutely free. There's nothing to pay, there's no bar to jump, there's no exam to pass. God just says, come. Come and enjoy. Come and eat. Find forgiveness and all the blessings of life live with me through Jesus my Son, for free. The parable is a picture of life lived in relationship with God. And we're reminded, we see again, that it's a life of celebration, it's a good life, and it's free. It's a picture of God's grace, his free gift to us. But what happens in the story? A life of celebration, a good life, a free life, and what happens? Those invited don't come. They refuse. They pass up the offer of the king's invitation. And so we might say they think little of God's grace. They think little of it. And remember, there is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. The people think they've got more important things to do. Verse 5, they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. They'd rather work for themselves than accept the king's free invitation. But not only that, their apathy, their thinking little of the invitation, also contains this violent, evil desire. We read that the rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. In the parable, these people are traitors to their king. Not only do they turn their noses up at the invitation and refuse to come, they treat shamefully and they kill the messengers, the servants the king sent out. They think little of God's grace, to the point where they shamefully and violently rebel against the king who invited them. Which I think means that verse 7 and the king's reaction are perfectly understandable. By ill-treating and killing his servants, these people have declared war on the king. And war is what they get. Now verse 7, it seems shocking at first, doesn't it? And of course it should. Violence always should be shocking. But it's also the just and right reaction of this king. The people declared war on his servants, and war is what they get. Just like a nation would take action if its embassy was stormed and all its representatives were killed and treated shamefully. So this king, when he hears of the mistreatment of his servants, he responds in kind, in a just way. The parable is a picture of how some people think little of God's grace. They think little of God's free invitation to them. Now I think it's probably just worth pausing and thinking, well, who is it that Jesus is speaking this parable to? Who's the audience? Who's listening in? And the audience is the same people that Jesus has been speaking to from back in chapter 21. He's speaking to the religious leaders, the religious elites of Jerusalem in his time. And this parable, along with the two that came before that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, they're telling of how the time of these religious leaders, these religious elites, their time is at an end. Jesus is telling them, your time is at an end, because they think little of God's grace. They are like those who are invited to the banquet, but they refuse God's invitation. Jesus, God's own son, the promised king of the Jews, has come. But these leaders have rejected him and rejected the free gift of God that he's promised and proclaimed to them. And not only have they rejected it, but actually they're plotting to kill him. And very soon they will kill him when they have him nailed to a cross and they leave him there to die in shame. And so, as verse 7 makes clear, these religious elite will not enjoy God's free gift of good life with him. Instead, they will face God's judgment. And so this parable is a warning to them. It's a warning from Jesus that there is great danger in thinking little of God's grace, like these religious elite, these religious leaders do. And it's a warning to us. A warning that when we hear the message of God's free grace, of his invitation to come and live life with him, both now and into eternity, when we hear that message, we should beware of thinking too little of it and passing it up as something not to be interested in. Because how easy is it for people today to be like those religious leaders? When we hear the good news that through Jesus and his death we can be forgiven for all the wrong that we've done. That we can be forgiven for all the wrong we've done against God by not treating him with the honour and love that he's due. Or be forgiven for all the wrong that we've done to each other because of our greed and our selfishness. We hear that news and we pass it up. We think little of it. But this parable reminds us there is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. To refuse God's invitation shows us who we really are. To refuse God's free gift of forgiveness just shows us that actually we're like those people who killed the king's servants and had to face his judgment. To reject God's grace because we're too busy with something else, or because we think there's a better offer of life somewhere else, better offer than this life of celebration that's good and free, to reject God's grace means we will face God's judgment. There is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. But of course, that's only half the parable that Jesus told. Not only do we see people who think little of God's free invitation, we also see people who think little of God's standards. We see people who think little of God's standards. Let's go back to the parable. So the king's been rejected. His first lot of guests turned their noses up, went their own way, killed his servants. But the banquet has not been cancelled. He sends out his servants to invite anyone. Have a look with me at verse 10. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Who do they find? The parable tells us they found the bad as well as the good. So this is now a banquet for anyone who would accept the invitation, regardless of what they've done or who they are. And this is what God is like. And do you know that? Do you know that? This is what God is like, that he accepts anyone who comes to him, regardless of what they've done, regardless of who they are. That good, free life of forgiveness, it's for anyone that will accept it. God welcomes everyone to his table. And so easy it is to forget that. But that is what God is like this king who sends out his servants to invite anyone to come and enjoy his feast. And while this would make a great end to the parable, wouldn't it be great if it ended just there? And just this picture of these people coming. Actually, Jesus still has more to say. And I think the reason he has more to say is because at this point, his audience that are listening might start to have a bit of a problem with what he said. Remember, the people around him are these religious elites, these religious leaders of Jerusalem, who Jesus has just told that they're losing their place at the table. They're losing their place at the banquet because they think little of the invitation that he's offering them. And as they listen to the second half of Jesus' parable, they might start thinking, okay, Jesus, we're out of the banquet. But what do you mean that the bad as well as the good get to go in? After all, isn't God holy? Isn't God just? Isn't God perfectly good? How then can he let bad people into relationship with him? And how can he just let them stay there? And so there's this final scene to the story that Jesus tells. And I think perhaps he's got in mind that kind of response to what he's saying. And so he says to them, well, he wants to show them that God's grace does not water down God's standards. Have a look at me at verse 11. Let's just read the last part again. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. So the banquet's begun, the servants have brought the people in, and the king goes to have a look at his guests. And he sees someone not dressed properly. The king finds someone else who thinks little of God's grace. Because here we have someone who's accepted the invitation. They've come into the banquet. They sat down, they started to eat the food, but they aren't dressed as they should be. They aren't living out the values of God's kingdom. And so here is the other way in which there is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. And I think that this is where those of us who are very familiar with the Christian story, the Christian message, need to pay careful attention. It's certainly where I need to pay careful attention to Jesus' words. Because here is someone who has said yes to Jesus, or looks like they've said yes to Jesus. But because there is no evidence of the kingdom of heaven in his life, because there's no evidence of God's grace in his life, he loses his place at the banquet. The man thinks little of God's grace, and so he takes it for granted. The parable reminds us, as one commentator puts it, that the grace not only forgives, but also transforms. That grace not only forgives, but also transforms. See, a view of God's grace that only speaks of the forgiveness God offers and never speaks about the transformation it's designed to bring about in each of us is a small view of God's grace. It's a view of God's grace that leads us to presume upon God, to think little of God's grace. I think too little of God's grace because I don't think that God's grace will change me. I don't think that over time it'll change my actions, my thoughts, my heart. Yes, God's grace is a free gift to come and join him at this wedding banquet, to come and find forgiveness and life and satisfaction and hope and eternal joy in him. It's an unconditional offer of love and forgiveness to all, regardless of who they are or what they've done. But God's grace is also the power to see people change more and more into the people God wants them to be. The servants in the parable went out and found all the people they could, the bad as well as the good. But it has never been and will never be God's intention to leave people as he found them. God's intention was never to sort of lower the standards of the kingdom and what it means to belong to him. That's something that Matthew has made very clear in his gospel throughout the whole thing. Again and again, Matthew has recorded Jesus' challenge to those who would follow him. The challenge that they need to see fruit in their lives is a theme that pops up in chapter 3, chapter 7, chapter 13, and chapter 21 that we've been reading over the last couple of weeks. And Philip challenged us last week, are we as concerned as the Gospel of Matthew, as the Lord Jesus, about seeing the kind of fruit God wants to see in each of our lives? Is that our kind of concern? Are we as concerned as God our Father to see holiness and righteousness in all we think or say or do? Or do we think too little of his grace? Do we think that God is only concerned to forgive us and that what happens next doesn't matter to him? That is not the God of the Bible. He invites and freely welcomes anyone who will accept the invitation. With no price, no condition, come, enjoy the feast. But he also freely changes and transforms all those who trust in Jesus by his grace. Now, this is not to say that we enter God's kingdom by grace, by his free gift, only to find he wants us to continue in our own strength, by our own effort. It's not that at all. God has provided all we need. Remember the words of the king in the parable. He says, tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. Everything is ready. It's all there. But this gracious provision of God extends throughout the Christian life, not just the beginning. God's grace is the means by which we continue, by which we're changed, by which we're transformed. What we should not do is think too little of God's grace, to think that it will not change or transform us as we live a life with God as our King. For if there is no fruit in our lives, if there is no evidence of being part of God's kingdom, then we'll face God's judgment too, like the man in the parable who was thrown out into the darkness because he wasn't wearing the right clothes. Not because any part of our salvation is down to us and our effort, but because if we're truly those who live by his grace, we will be those who are being changed and transformed to be more like the Lord Jesus. There is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. There is great danger in thinking too little of God's grace. And that just leaves us with one last question. So what should we do? What should we do? What should we do if we feel convicted by this parable that Jesus told, that we think too little of God's grace in our lives? Whether that's because we're one of those who just reject the invitation outright, because we think too little of the offer of life in relationship with God that Jesus offers, or whether it's because we realise that we don't expect and look for and strive for that transformation in our lives by God's grace. What should we do? Well, the answer to each of those two things is the same. The right response is to hear again that invitation from the King. Everything is ready. Come to the banquet. The wrong response would be to kind of sort of shy away from God and try and summon up the power to change from within ourselves. Because we'll never find it there. That's never where the power will come from to change. God says, come and find what you need freely, graciously, through repentance and faith. And later in our service, we're going to hear those words again in a special way when Philip invites us to come and share the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper is a reminder that the Christian life is like a banquet that God offers, that God has prepared for his people. It's a life celebrating Jesus and what he's done. It's a life of good things. It's a life that's given to us freely. Let's not think too little of God's grace. Let's not think that we don't need it or don't want it. And let's not think that it won't transform us. Let's come to God. Let's hear those words of God. Come, eat. And let's come and remember what the Lord Jesus did and find grace to change and grace to be more like him. Let me pray for us as we finish. Father God, we thank you for these parables, these stories that Jesus told. Father God, sometimes they take us by surprise. And sometimes they speak right into our hearts and show us how we do think too little of your grace. Father God, thank you that you offer us life and you offer it freely. You say, come, everything is ready. Father, pray that you would give us hearts that keep relying on your grace. Not just at the beginning of our Christian life, but day by day as we keep trusting in you. Help us to keep looking to you for the power to be changed and transformed, to be more like the Lord Jesus. And as we come to celebrate his death and resurrection through the bread and the wine, Father, pray you would give us a chance to come to you and once again ask for your grace, to say sorry for those times where we've not lived as we should, and to look for your forgiveness and your power to change. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.